We're going to continue our Sunday night message on tongue signs and healing and wonders and all that that we started Sunday night. And so if you will, go ahead and take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, and that's where we'll take our text from tonight. But again, there's a lot of confusion on this subject because the Bible does talk about speaking in tongues, does it not? I mean, the Bible does talk about signs and wonders and healings. And so it can be very confusing when folks like you come and me come along and we tell them, well, that's not for today, you know, and they can't understand it because they read it in their Bible. And then sometimes for you and me, it's hard for us to explain it to them. If we haven't studied it and learned it, then it's kind of hard, you know. We say, well, we don't agree with it, but we can't really prove why we don't agree with it. So that's why we do studies like this. And, you know, because I find that I run across people that disagree with me, vehemently disagree. And you're not going to change their mind. I mean, a lot of them grew up in it. I've got family that grew up in the Church of God, and they believe in a lot of that stuff. And it's not just the Church of God. I mean, there's others. I mean, did you know that the Catholics are charismatics too? You know, I remember we went to Montreal, Canada on a mission trip one time. We took about a week and went. And when we got there, the guy that was showing us around, because the institution, if you will, it's huge. It was at that time, it was the largest Catholic institution outside of the Vatican. It was in Montreal, Canada. And so we kind of took the tour, if you will. And when you went in, there was along the wall, there was this rope. And it might have been down both sides, actually. I can't remember. But there was all kinds of canes. And the guy that was telling us about it, he said that those canes are from people that got healed and they gave their canes up. You know, so they believe in, you know, that kind of a charismatic type of healing thing, too. So, but anyway, so the purpose of the message here tonight is to help to inform you. It's not that I'm going to change a charismatic's mind. That's not what I'm set out to do tonight. That's not my purpose. We are Baptist. And remember, I think I mentioned that I'm a Baptist by choice. The Bible makes me a Baptist. It sets my doctrines out. You say, well, I don't believe in denominations. The denominations just divide and all of that stuff. Yeah, sure, denominations divide. You want to know why? Because a denomination tells what you believe. That's your doctrine. And really, it's the doctrine that divides. It's not your denomination that divides. A denomination will never take you to heaven. It can't get you to heaven. Now, if you don't have your doctrine right, then you may not get to heaven. You know, if you're trusting in water baptism to save you and get you to heaven, instead of trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and that only, for by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves, right? It's not of what we did on Sunday morning. You know, that young man there, he got saved a while back. He didn't get saved when we dunked him in the water. So you have to be careful about that. But there are people in the Bible that got the gift of the Holy Ghost by water baptism. See, you have to learn to rightly divide your Bible. Those things are not for you and me today. There's things that change. The book of Acts, this is where you'll get mixed up in your Bible. The book of Matthew, the book of Acts, and the book of Hebrews. Because those are transitional books for the most part. And those are going from Matthew and Acts is going from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of God. It's going from law to grace. Things are changing. And you have to understand that when you're reading the book of Acts, because that's where a lot of this stuff comes from, the book of Matthew and the book of Acts. Just about everything that we talk about here, it's built on the book of Matthew and the book of Acts, or that's where they get their doctrine from. That's where they get their proof text from. A lot of it. So, you know, I don't do these things to try to hurt. I do these things to try to help. So I hope that you've gotten something out of the Sunday night message, and we're going to continue on here tonight. So in Luke chapter number 20, or Luke chapter, there's not 20 chapters in Luke. Luke chapter 2, if you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 2, let's just read 4 or 5 verses for our text. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible said, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a what? A sign unto you. A sign unto you. Who's the you? It rhymes with you. It's Jew. It's the Jews. And this shall be a sign unto you. Why the Jew? Because the Jew requires a sign. Is that right? We learned that on Sunday night. So he said, and this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I'm going to come back to Isaiah 7 just real quick, and I want to give you the prophecy of the Old Testament that's a reference to Luke chapter number 2. But in Isaiah chapter number 7, I believe it's verse 14. Yeah, Isaiah 7, 14. The Bible said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Isaiah is talking to the Jews, and he's saying, therefore the Lord himself shall give you, the Jews, Israel, a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so that's the Old Testament prophecy, and it comes to pass in Luke chapter number 2. And what that virgin birth is that virgin birth is a sign to the Jew to say, hey, this is your Messiah. So that they know the prophecy. They know Isaiah 7:14. They know the Old Testament prophecy. So when they see that and hear that a virgin has conceived a son, they know that that's their Savior, the Christ, because that's a sign to the Jew. You see, the Jew always gets the sign. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I can't see it as Gentiles. I'm sure the Gentiles in this day heard about the virgin birth. No doubt, they saw it. Doesn't mean they can't see it, but it's not for the Gentiles. It's for the Jew, because the Jew requires a sign. And we talked about that in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 22 is the proof text for that. And so we said, first of all, the Jew requires a sign. Then secondly, we talked about Mark chapter 16. You'll remember Mark chapter number 16, that's where those four apostolic gifts are, you know, the casting out devils and the healing and the healing the sick and the taking up the serpent and those things. And those things are they're important in their place, because what they do is those signs. Y'all know what signs are for, don't you? And the reason why there's no signs today is because the Bible's complete. See, these folks running around talking about signs and tongues and all that stuff, and tongues are for a sign, 1 Corinthians 14, 22. So they run around talking about signs and things like that, but there are no signs today, not right now. We can know the seasons. Seasons are different. Signs and seasons are not the same thing. If you will, come back to Mark 16. I did not go over this with you in Mark chapter 16. Let me show you this here. The main reason why there are no signs right now is because the Word of God is complete. You and I have got a King James Bible, 66 books, and it's complete, and we don't need signs, because signs were for the purpose of confirming the Word. In Mark 16, verse number 19, the Bible said, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, the them would be the 11 disciples, which are Jews. Then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So now Jesus Christ, after he spoken to him, he told him those things in verses 15 through 18. He ascended up and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Then verse 20 says, and they went forth, the 11, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now isn't that a strange thing? How's the Lord working with him? I mean, he went back to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. How's he working with him? He's working with him through the Holy Ghost. He said that if I go away, I'll send a comforter that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is working. And so as they preach, the Lord is working with them and confirming the word with what? With signs following. See that? That's the purpose of signs. See, here in Mark chapter 16, there was no complete word of God. And so the reason why they spoke in tongues and the reason why they healed and those types of things is because God wanted to say, hey, to those unbelieving Jews, what that one of those apostles are saying is the word of God. One of those 11 was speaking by the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit would do was would confirm what that apostle was saying by signs. Boy. What that's all about. Anyway, boy, if I could have timed that out just right, I'd have everybody spooked out, wouldn't I? I wonder if that's a sign. Oh, goodness. But that's the purpose of signs. Verse number 20, Mark 16, and verse number 20, it's to confirm the word. So that's what they did that for. All right, so moving along here. Signs and healing. Let me say this, they're not for today. They're not for today. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you this here. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm not going to spend a real long time on it because I think it's so evident that they're not for today. It doesn't even need to spend a lot of time on it. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, watch these things very carefully. This is what the charismatics won't show you. They won't show you these things. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, do you know why Paul talked about only Luke is with him? You want to know why Luke went with Paul? Luke went with Paul because Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He took a physician with him everywhere he went. Dr. Luke is who you talk about. You may have heard the message that I think Lester Roloff preached it, and he talks about Dr. Luke and then Dr. Jesus, and that was a really good message. If you haven't heard it, you might could look it up online. But anyway, in Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 14, the Bible said, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." And so Luke is the beloved physician. The reason why Paul views him as the beloved physician is because he took him everywhere he went. That shows you that Paul was sick. If a man could heal, why didn't he heal himself? Why didn't Paul? You say, "Oh, that'd be selfish and all that." Where's that at in the Bible? I mean, if you got the gift to heal, man, the first person I'm going to heal is myself, right? I got a bum knee. Guess what? I no longer have a bum knee. Poof. It's better now, right? I ain't going to have to see a back doctor or an eye doctor or anything. If I've got the gift of healing, I'm going to heal no matter who it is. It'd almost be a selfish thing not to heal myself is the way I'd look at it because, hey, I'm doing something for God. Paul's out there preaching and he's suffering for the cause of Christ and why wouldn't he not heal himself? So it's a strange thing here at this point in his ministry that Paul, he couldn't heal, but he could in the beginning. Paul could even raise the dead at one time. The apostles could raise the dead. What happened? They lost the gift of healing is the reason why. Now come back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 if you're not already there and look with me in verse number 19. Verse number 19. 2 Timothy 4:19. "Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum." What? Sick. Isn't that horrible? Here's the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the man of God that can reach down and heal people. But now all of a sudden he's walking away from one of his closest friends and he says, "I left him sick." What a terrible friend that is. Paul, if you've got the gift of healing, why aren't you healing your friends? You see, this doesn't make sense to me, and it doesn't make sense, shouldn't make sense to you either. I mean, there's a problem here. We know that at one time all the apostles could heal, so what happened to Paul? I'll tell you what happened. He lost the ability to heal. Why? Because the Word of God by this point is complete. It's done. It's done. All right, look at 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, here's another one. It's a strange thing. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 22 says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man." I don't care how aggravated you are with somebody, you don't put your hands on them, right? You might want to take your hands and put it around their neck and choke them, you know? Get saved, trust Jesus, get in church, you know? You might want to do that. But he said to lay hands suddenly on no man. But I wonder if you could get by with it if you slowly laid your hands on them. That might be stretching the text a little, but anyway, it makes country sense to me. All right, he said, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Now watch verse 23. He said, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Now here's Paul. He's talking to Timothy. And evidently, Timothy has chronic stomach problems. And instead of Paul healing the fella, Paul says, "Drink no longer water, but drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake." What a terrible friend that is. Paul, you got the gift of healing, but you're going to leave one guy, Trophimus, Titus, you're going to leave him sick back at Miletum, but then you're going to leave your friend here, Timothy, you're going to leave him sick with chronic stomach problems. Something don't add up to me. I'll tell you why. Because Paul lost the ability to be able to heal. And by the way, the wine in that passage there probably is not liquor. Now, every drunk in Mercer County probably knows that verse. But the thing about it is in the Bible, you've got old wine and new wine. And when it just says wine, the context usually will determine whether it's old wine or new wine. I just imagine that if you had chronic stomach problems, if you drunk some Jack Daniels, it probably tear your stomach up worse, I guess. But they say there's some healing properties in drinking a little grape juice. And me and Andrew will do that occasionally. You know, we drink grape juice. We keep a jug of it in the refrigerator, and especially through the sick times and things like that. I don't know if it works. If nothing else, it's a placebo. It makes me feel better, you know. And I just drink a swallow of it. I don't drink a whole lot of it. But it seems like, you know, it works for the most part. But anyway, he said to drink no longer water, but use a little wine. It says a little. Even if that was fermented wine, it says a little. You see what I mean? But the drunk says, if I was to drink a little wine, for my stomach's sake. So, you know, he's stumbling around. You know, that's not the context of the passage. Anyway, so it appears that Paul, he had the gift of healing, but somewhere along the way, he lost that thing. So how silly would it be for Paul to have the gift of healing, but then not heal he calls him his son. It's his son spiritually. So he calls him his son spiritually there. And how selfish it would be not to heal him though he was sick. I imagine that if I had the gift of healing tonight, I'd heal everybody. I'd go around, because I know some of you've got problems. I'd go around everybody in this building. I'd heal every one of you. Wouldn't that be what you'd do if you had the gift of healing? I mean, think about this one. This is a strange one to me. Think about COVID. Where was all the healers at then? I mean, we had so many millions of people to die in this country, but where were all the healers? They were sitting home with their mask and their gloves on. I ain't getting out in this. You know? I don't know, maybe they weren't. But anyway, it's just fun to make fun, right? Where were they at? Shouldn't they have been up in the hospitals up there and say, hey, I got the gift of healing. I can heal every one of them, and go down through there and ICU and CCU and all those other hospital rooms and heal every one of them if they've got the gift of healing? Why didn't they do that? Because they're fakers. That's why. They're just out to get people's money is what it is. They can't really do that stuff. And why is it always something nobody can see? They always heal something. Why don't they heal on an entire leg? Jesus reached down and he grabbed a hold of a man's ear that Peter cut off, and he put it back on. Wait a second. He just healed the whole ear. Now, think about that for a moment. Jesus said, "In greater works these shall ye do." So if they can heal, they can heal whole limbs. You'll be able to see it. Man loses his leg, well, he'll just get one to grow right back. If you got the gift of healing, you can heal. You say, that's far-fetched. That's the Bible. If you've got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't, right? Where were they at during COVID? Well, I know a lot of people that's got health problems now because of COVID. Where are they at now? Why ain't they healing people of that? It's a strange thing. I know some folks that claim they got healing there and all that, and they ended up getting COVID. Do you think they healed themselves? Mm-mm. They had to do it like everybody else had to go suffer through it. You see? So there's something strange about that. I mean, if I had the gift of healing, man, I'd go through this building here and I'd heal everybody that needed healing. And then what I'd do is I'd head up to Princeton Community Hospital and I'd go heal everybody there. And then what I'd do is I'd take a detour and go by Princeton Healthcare and I'd heal everybody there. And then I'd go to every other nursing home and I'd heal everybody there. And then once I got done with the nursing home, I'd probably go to bed, go to sleep, and get up and go back and do it again. You see, I wouldn't have to worry about my money problems then, would I? You start healing some folks and they're going to start saying, hey, we want to support your ministry. We want to help you. You wouldn't have to worry about no building program or no building payment or anything like that. It'd be paid for just like that, I guarantee it, if people had the gift of healing. You see, Paul and the apostles had the gift of healing, but somewhere along the way, they lost it because they left these folks here sick. Does that make sense? So they've lost this gift somewhere along the way. Anyhow, let me move on here because I'll spend too much time on that. But now, another thing I want to show you. Come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're in 1 Timothy, then come back to your left, just one book, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want to show you that the devil can do signs as well. He can heal. He can do those things as well. All right, in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now, in verse number 1, you've got the rapture. He said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." That's the rapture. We're going to be gathered together unto the Lord, right? caught up to him. He's in verse number 2, he's talking about those that were writing letters and signing Paul's name to it, saying that Jesus Christ has already came, that the rapture's taken place and you've missed the day of Christ. And so Paul said, look, don't worry about that, because the day of Christ is still at hand. Then he goes down through there and talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition in verse 3, the one that opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God in verse 4. Then he says in verse 6, he talks about, verse number 7, the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of the Antichrist is what that is. But then verse number 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. It's capital W, and that's the Antichrist. He's going to be revealed at that point in verse number 8, and it says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, and watch this now, signs and lying wonders. They're lies. These wonders are lies. Their intent is to deceive, is what it is. So we see that the devil here in verse number 9, he can do signs and lying wonders. Now, you have to be careful about this thing. If you were raised up in a charismatic church and never got saved, and you go in the tribulation period, here you are with the Antichrist, and he's doing signs and lying wonders. You know what you're going to do? You're going to be deceived. Most likely, you're going to take the mark of the beast, because you're going to look at those signs and wonders that Satan is going to do, the Antichrist is going to do, and you're going to say, oh, that must be God. That's why he's called the Antichrist. And so, you know, I'd get saved now. I wouldn't put it off to get saved during the tribulation period. I get saved now, because verse 10 said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And verse 12 says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So in the tribulation period, if you've heard a clear presentation of the gospel now and you rejected it and you wouldn't receive the love of the truth, you might be saved. When you go into the tribulation period, God is going to let you look at the Antichrist and his works and see those works, and you're going to say, that's God right there. That's the Messiah. And you're going to take the mark of the beast and damn yourself to hell. And so that's what he's talking about in essence there in the passage. Now, we believe these signs and healings, they're not for today, but these things are going to come back around again in the tribulation period. Just like they were here in Jesus' day when the kingdom of heaven was being preached, in the tribulation period, the kingdom of heaven is going to be preached again. And those things are connected with the kingdom of heaven, all those signs and gifts. That's Matthew chapter number 10. If you'll read it, he calls his 12 unto him, and then he gives them the power to do those things if you read on down through there in the passage. And so those things are connected with the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. And so that's two different things. And so the Bible tells us about Satan who can do these signs. Now, over in Deuteronomy 13, I'm going to turn there, and I'm going to read Deuteronomy 13 to you. As soon as I get there, I'm going to begin reading, but it's verses 1 through 5 if you're taking notes. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 1 says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Now see that? Here, this dreamer of dreams or this person gave signs and wonders. If that sign or wonder come to pass, it happened. It was real, right? The sign and wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou shalt not know. As not known, and let us serve them. So here comes somebody, and they do signs and wonders, and that thing comes to pass. And they say, let's follow other gods. You're not to follow them. In other words, there's going to be people that can do this, and that thing's going to come to pass, but you don't follow them. He says in verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, are you going to follow a sign, or are you going to follow God? You're going to take God at his word, or you're going to follow somebody that's giving you a sign? Hello? That even goes on for today. There's people that claim to do this thing. Verse 4 said, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. So God says, I'm going to kill that prophet. That prophet, he did a sign and a wonder. Now, whether he was of God or not, I know not, but I believe he's a false prophet. He was trying to lead God's people astray, and because of that, God killed him. So God kills some false prophets. Now, if you will, come to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and let me show you something about these false prophets. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, I'll read... Let's pick it up in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul said, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Verse 2, 2 Corinthians 11, 2. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," he deceived Eve, right? So he beguiled Eve through his subtlety, "so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Here it is. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," so evidently there's more than one Jesus, according to verse 4. There's many Jesuses. There's people that claim to be Jesus in this world. "For if he cometh, that he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received," so there's another spirit you can receive, "and another gospel," evidently there's another gospel which ye can receive. He says, "which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Jump down, if you will, real quickly with me here in the passage, verse number 13. Verse number 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." See, they can transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They can make themselves appear. They can carry a King James Bible wearing a three-piece suit. They can speak the words and amen and glory to God, hallelujah. They can do all of that. You see, they can transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. Listen, watch verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Satan can transform himself into something good. You can look at something and say, "Oh, that looks good." But you got to try that thing. You can't just because it looks good. I mean, you know, hitting the Powerball for one guy might be good, right? Woo-hoo, hit the Powerball, right? Yahoo! But you know, I know a guy, and you probably know who I'm talking about, who lost his granddaughter because he hit the Powerball. I bet he wasn't shouting it out then. See, you know, you have to be careful because some things might appear like they're good, but on the other hand, they might not be so good. He said, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Wasn't it the Lord said it beheld and Satan fall from heaven as lightning? Light. That's what lightning is. It's light, isn't it? It's electricity. All right, verse 15. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Not only can Satan transform himself into an angel of light, but his ministers can transform themselves into something righteous as well. You have to be careful about that. I mean, that's a very dangerous thing. And the day you and I live in here, that people can present themselves one way and they're actually something else. So you have to be careful about false apostles. Be careful about that. John, 1 John 4:1 says, "Try the spirits whether they be of God." Now, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2, Jesus was talking to the church at Ephesus. And as he was talking to the church of Ephesus, he had said that he knew they tried the spirits and found that they were false apostles. So the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2:2 tried the spirits and they found them to be false apostles. So you have to try somebody. That's one of the reasons why when new people come into the church and they get excited and they want to do something, they want to take on something, then we're going to be very careful at first before we give them something to do. We're not going to take a new person and let them come in and just put them behind the pulpit preaching or teaching. Teaching a Sunday school or whatever it might be. You know, we're just not going to do that. It just doesn't work that way. You got to try people. They got to prove themselves. Are they here for our good? Are they here for good? Or are they here for another intent or purpose? And you can wait people out sometimes and you give them about 6 months and you'll be able to tell after about 6 months or not. That's why we just don't, you know, we don't open up the floor and let anybody come up and just sing. I don't want some devil getting up and singing to my congregation. Do you want some devil singing to you? You know, you want to try, make sure they're saved, make sure they're right with God. That's what you want. And, I mean, you wouldn't want Billy Ray Cyrus up here singing to you, would you? It might, you know, be crazy having Alan Jackson to get up here and sing Amazing Grace to you. You say, "Oh, he just sings it so good." He might, but there's a problem in that. He might have a devil in him, and he's singing to you, and that devil could corrupt the minds and the hearts of everybody in this building. We have to be careful about those things. Those things are real. Do you know that devils are real? They are real. Regardless of what people think, I mean, I know we kind of go to the extreme because of, you know, because the world's taking it to one extreme, but let's be careful not to go anti-devilish, because there are devils. Now, if you will, come to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter number 13. Let me show you this. I mean, Satan can do signs and wonders. Revelation chapter 13. We talked about this briefly as we went through our study in the book of Revelation. But let me just give you a couple of thoughts out of it. Revelation chapter number 13. The number 13 is about the beast. It's about the Antichrist. And so number 13 is connected with rebellion, isn't it? It's the devil's number. You ever wondered Friday the 13th? You know, you got all that stuff that goes on, the 13th. And Revelation 13, if you will, look with me in verse 11. Revelation 13, 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, isn't it strange the Bible says that he had two horns like a lamb? But isn't that what the Antichrist does? He kind of mimics and copies God. Didn't John talk about Jesus Christ and say, behold, the Lamb of God? So isn't it funny that Christ is the Lamb of God, but the Antichrist is as a lamb? It didn't say the lamb. John said, behold, the lamb. But here in the passage, it says he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So he got healed. The Antichrist, in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to die. He's going to lay there in the street, and he's going to resurrect. He's going to be healed. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven. See that? Great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So these men, all these people are out there, and they're watching this fire come down from heaven, and the Antichrist is the one that's doing this thing. I mean, what would you think if you were in the tribulation period and you saw a man that could call fire down from heaven? And he was as a lamb. I mean, it kind of would make you think, hey, maybe this is Christ, right? I mean, maybe the church does go through the, you know, I'm just saying this falsely, but maybe the church does go through the tribulation period. And if the church does go through the tribulation period, that's why I find myself in the tribulation period. And now I see these signs and wonders, and now I know that this is God right here. No, wrong answer. The church doesn't go through the tribulation period. All right, verse 14 says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. How? By the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. See that? He can do those miracles there, and he's going to do it in front of the entire world. And the whole world's going to watch and see him do these miracles. It says, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now watch verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So in the tribulation period, they're going to make an image, and Satan is going to be able to give this image life. Now, let me pause, take a time out for just a second before you fall out on the floor. It didn't say that Satan could create life. It said he could give life. The only person that can create life is God himself. Perfect example of that would be over there in the book of Exodus. You'll remember the 10 plagues of Egypt, right? One of those plagues, the Pharaoh's magicians, they could mimic every plague except one. And that was the creation of lice. You want to know why they couldn't do that one? Because the devil cannot create life. He can only give life. Here in the passage, that this image was given life by the devil. So he says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. See that? So when you go through all of these miracles and these signs and these wonders, and you see this beast has been given life, and he can speak and he can walk and he can talk, and if you don't take the mark of the beast, then you get your head cut off. And so, but most people are going to fall for it anyway. You can't buy nor sell without the mark, right? So most people's going to fall for it anyway. You got a starving child, what are you going to do? The only way you can buy, if you want to buy food, milk, whatever it might be, bread, eggs, if you want to buy it, you're going to have to take the mark. Well, okay, you can, but it's going to come at a price. It's going to cost your soul. is what it's going to cost. So we find here in the passage here that Satan can do miracles. Verse number 14 says, miracles which he had power to do. And then in verse number 15, he had power to give life. So Satan has power to give life. Now, let's look, just take just a few minutes and we'll start on this. I won't be able to finish this. I'll tell you what, I'll probably close out with this point here. Let's look at the sign gifts of tongues, and I'll have to come back and finish it because I want to give you the rules on tongues. I think once you see the rules on tongues, then you'll see that the way that most churches handle tongues is false. I'll show you from the Bible itself that most of the tongues that's done in churches today is false. And I'll show you that, Lord willing, the next time. But now let's look at sign gifts for just a moment. I remember growing up, I can remember I had family members, and they would say, and good, well-intentioned people. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying I've got family. Most everybody in here probably has family that's connected somehow with the charismatic movement and stuff like that. But I had family, and as I was growing up, I'd ask them the questions about tongues because it just didn't make any sense to me. I couldn't understand tongues. I couldn't understand the thing. I still ain't figured it out. I mean, it's still a hard thing to tame, isn't it? But that's not the kind of tongue I'm talking about. But anyway, I'd ask about it, and they'd say, well, we don't know whether it's biblical or not. We don't kind of go along with it, but we won't speak against it because we're not certain. And so that's why they would say that. They would say, but see, the Bible's clear on it. It is certain that tongues are not for today. But what they would say is they would say that thing about, we're not just going to speak against or anything like that. But doesn't the Bible talk about killing babies too over there in the Old Testament? Does that mean you're not going to speak about it? You see, you've got to be careful about your thinking on these things. Just because the Bible talks about it in a certain way doesn't mean you can't talk about it. You see, I think what happens is if we're not careful, we get so cowardice that we won't take a stand on what we believe out of fear of hurting others that believe that way. So we'll kind of make them think that we're going along with it. Now, listen, I'm not going to go out of my way to hurt anybody on that. I'm not going to do it. But if you're going to push it in my face, I'm going to push back on it. You see what I mean? I've got you. If you're going to invoke your freedom of religion and freedom of speech on me, then I might just push back on that. It depends on where I'm at. Depends on who's around. If there's a crowd around, I might let it go. But if it's one-on-one, then you're going to get blasted with proof texts on how that's not biblical. And you're left with a choice of either believing the Bible or rejecting it. And that's the truth. Amen. Well, I think I'm in a Baptist church tonight. I don't know. I guess I am. I don't know. The charismatics are down there and they're hooping, hollering about it and all and stuff like that. At least they've got some excitement about what they believe. We come in here and we're just like... And it's like we have no life about what we believe. And they're down there speaking in tongues, excited about it. Jumping the pews and stuff. You see what I mean? There's nothing wrong with getting excited about what we believe. I don't agree with tongues. Amen, preacher. That's the way it ought to be, There's a lot of Baptist churches, they'll shout the roof down when you start talking about stuff like that because they don't believe it. They understand, rightly divided, what the Bible has to say about it. Now, we've already showed you that the Jews require a sign. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. That's your proof text. Write that down. If you've got family members that are mixed up in this, the next time they want to push it on you, give them these verses. Give them these verses. It'll help you. So we've shown you how it's for the Jew. Then in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22, we showed you that tongues are a sign for the unbelieving. So it's for the unbelieving Jew. It's not for you and me. You're not a Jew. I'm not a Jew. You don't have kinky, curly, brownish, black hair. You don't have it. You don't have the skin tone for it. You don't have the accent for it. Do I need to go on? you don't have the bloodline for it. Signs are not for you. We're Gentile dogs. We're mutts. You got all kinds of different races running through your veins. You're not any purebred whatsoever. And so we've got those kinds of things running through our veins. So we're not looking for a sign. What is it? The Jews require a sign, but the Greeks, Gentiles, seek after wisdom. That's what you and I go after. That's why we've got so many libraries in our country. That's why people are coming to America to get an education and learn, because they're seeking after the same things that you and I've got. Hopefully we've got is wisdom. Most, first and foremost, biblical wisdom, right? All right, so the one that you want is prophecy. That's the one you want. If you'll write down 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 22 and verse number 23, you know what Paul says? Paul says that if people are speaking in tongues, and an unsaved person comes into that church and they and or and they see that kind of thing, you know what's going to happen when people come to your church and they see that? Paul said something along the lines, he said, aren't they going to say that ye are mad? In other words, cuckoo, cuckoo, you're crazy. You know, y'all remember the cuckoo clock, don't you? You know, ding, cuckoo, cuckoo. That's what that's about. They're going to think you're crazy. He said, they're going to think you're mad. You know, you come in and this person over here is speaking in tongues, and that person speaking in tongues, and they can't understand what's going on. They're going to think, man, this is a circus. I'm out of here. You know, I'm not going to be a clown, so I'm out of here. And so that's what Paul has to say about that kind of thing. They're going to say things like, they come into our church, they're going to say, when all the crazy people move down here into this church near Oakville? Now, they might say that anyway, but you know, we don't want to give them one more reason like that. We want to make sure they're going to say it for the right reason. So when it comes to tongues, the context of the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 is unbelieving Jews. And that's 1 Corinthians 14 verses 20 and 21. And what we'll do is I'm going to stop right there.